Let's pray right away. Let's dig right in. Father in heaven, we ask for your Holy Ghost to be our teacher as we go through the scriptures, and we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would rest upon us. Lord Jesus, you fully identified with us as one without sin, went to the cross as a sinner, no sin on your own. And so, Lord, we... this new life in you, we come to live as you lived in this world. And we ask your power of the Spirit. Now we don't have to live after the sinful flesh anymore. And we ask for your Holy Spirit tonight. And we ask to be taught. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Book of Judges, the warning not to live like the people around you, right? Again, that just stir up that reminder. This book of the Bible, it's given to the church. The unbelievers are not reading the book of Judges concerned about this time period of history for Israel. They're just not. Okay? We, on the other hand, do pay attention to this. It's estimated 400-year time period. And why I say that is the days determine the work. The work that's before us, I think, should be evident, but let's go through it. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Right? If you don't have any verses of the Bible memorized, get this one. Right? Then, so this has been the work of the kingdom of God since Jesus went back to heaven. And at some point, when the church is awakened throughout history, this... It grips the church in such a way where they can't get away from these verses, and don't want to get away from them. But when the church gets sleepy, slumber, and well, let's be honest, gets too cozy living in this world. Again, I'll catch the context now. Living like the world. Hey, the world's pretty good. Hey, this is nice. And missing, missing our Lord in the midst of it. Remind you, Matthew 28, 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the Lord's final speaking here in the Gospel of Matthew, as Matthew records it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now, when you read, teach all nations, I think it's great for us just to, if the days determine the work, then we either should be doing one of two things. To teach all nations, we should be going to all nations, or all nations should be coming to us. Have you looked around Fargo? Have you noticed? Okay. So to fulfill the great commission of going to all nations, so again, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part. Now on August 4th, we're going to have a guest speaker from Far Reaching Ministries. I don't know if anybody looks at the website. Again, just put that out there. And again, I want you to be praying. One of the things that God has been working with us by the power of the Holy Spirit under prayer, and two things are going to happen that day. In a sense, it's going to be like a mission recap from our Mexico missions trip, because I'm going to bring up the work of ministry. For us, that's our uttermost part. That's the work of ministry that we as a church are involved with at other parts of the world. And then I'm going to introduce you to Far-Reaching Ministries. And we'll have a guest speaker that day. And I want you to be in prayer. What the Holy Spirit would say to us as a congregation, what the Holy Spirit might say to you as a family. Our part here of taking up this commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's about making disciples. So that teaching there is, the word is actually for disciples. Now go to the last chapter of Mark. So we're going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Mark 16. Mark 16:15. Again, Mark, this is what Mark records here at the end. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, don't rewrite the Bible and say that dogs can get saved. Okay? Every creature here is, it's a clear reference to every person. Now, do you have some bad doctrine in you that says don't share the gospel with some? Or do you have the words of our Lord? You know, I was reasoning with a guy at the last picnic who he couldn't just receive the words of our Lord. Is there a higher authority in regards to what's said? Okay, so you go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we're in all the world, right? If you think of where we're at in relationship to Jerusalem, and then the description in 16 is believers' baptism, if you catch that. All who believe, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, baptism, again, you study it through the scriptures, does not save. He's not giving baptismal regeneration. Okay? It's through the preaching of the gospel. And those that are saved, what do? They get baptized. Baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that your water baptism, that's your best public witness? Some of you will never get a public platform. But at your water baptism, what you get that? You get to give your testimony of Christ. Great undertaking, right? So, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then the signs follow, right? Casting out devils, speaking with new tongues, taking up serpents, and drink anything deadly, I shall not hurt them. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speaking of the supernatural power of God by the Holy Spirit would be with the church that goes forth and does these things. Not to start churches that lead with those things. Okay, that's been twisted. I don't know if there's a verse in the Bible that hasn't been twisted by somebody. Honestly. And so when we take this to heart, that it's not to start a poison-drinking ministry that to see if you really have faith or not, or to charm snakes, none of that. But that's been done. Now go to Jesus' last words according to Luke. Luke 24, if you're looking for the last chapter. It's right around 46, 48, somewhere right in there. Yeah, 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, Luke writes to the Gentiles, right? If you think about his ministry and where he's been with the Apostle Paul, and he emphasizes the Spirit of God in this gospel. How the Spirit bears witness to the testimony of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. I pay attention to the gospel according to Luke in a particular way. And he'll notice that his last words here that he records is the witness of Christ, suffering and dying, rising from the dead. Okay, so that's our witness. Second thing he identifies, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we consider where we're at on Sundays going through 1 Corinthians, how Paul arrives at Corinth, and the way that he arrived there, I look at what Luke wrote, repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. That's Christ crucified, right? That's preaching Christ crucified. Sins are forgiven. So I think you catch where we're at. And 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Now the simple part of this was the instruction that Jesus is telling those who have seen his death and resurrection, that they are witnesses of those things, and they are to go forth and be witnesses. That this had to happen then, and I remind you now, this has to happen now. Now, we're not eyewitnesses. Everybody understand, if you're telling me you've seen Jesus, you know, he came and visited you personally, you know, Colossians 2:18, right? You can figure that verse out and come talk to me about it, right? Our fleshly minds can bring up a lot of things. So why I say that in this regard is that we have been given the Holy Spirit in not in fear, but in power, right? Love and a sound mind. And I hope to be able to show you in the course of looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke that many in the church without the sound mind have gone on to do what? Whatever they want to do with those verses. And my part for us, ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. The instructions there to be witnesses of these things, and then let's pick it up in the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 1. It's before the Lord goes up to heaven. They're asking him, is it time for you to restore the kingdom? Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. He's the Messiah. What's the next thing the apostles are thinking about? Kingdom of God. Now, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own authority, his own power. And then Jesus describes what they are to be doing. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now I set before us tonight what I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to know and understand in regards to how we live in this world. Looking at the book of Judges, all I can keep thinking about with Gideon as we began studying Gideon is 6:34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. His cry out to God when the angel shows up, where's the mighty working power of God that we've heard about? Okay. The instruction given to the apostles, wait in Jerusalem, right? Luke records it, you shall be endued with power from on high, wait in Jerusalem, okay? Luke records it in the book of Acts. So both in his gospel picks up, and again, that's the crossover. The crossover is you need the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about waiting, there's nothing biblically that we need to wait for anymore. Jesus, in order to send the Holy Spirit to come to the earth, he had to be glorified. He had to be resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. Then the Holy Spirit could come. And in that instruction, after he goes to heaven, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit does come. So we're not waiting for any biblical effect, like, you know, some like, well, they waited, we've got to wait too. That's not the context. To me, the context is Book of Judges. In the days of Gideon, they're under oppression. It's 7 years. And in a sense, all the people are waiting for God. And then it's when the angel shows up, Gideon is, where's the power of God? And I describe that to us because we have been stirred up by the Holy Spirit to cry out for mercy for our city. If you haven't been looking around with your eyes, open them up. People are dying here. And I mean in the context of, like, we're having accidents, crashes, murders, suicides, drug overdoses. People are dying here. Now, in describing that, that's not the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that can happen is that those that are dying without Christ. We have a whole group of people, again, quite a few different groups of people who have moved here to live in our city together with us who don't know the Son of God. And guess what? They have the normal course of dying just like every other sinner in the world. But everyone who dies under that stronghold which has kept people from the Son of God, what do you know? I know that whoever dies without the Son of God does not have life. Now, it's just an example, let alone if you go out in your part of the city and open your eyes to look around, and I'm just compelled for you to see the corruption that's in this world through lust. It's all here. Now, we have this before us in a context that I don't think I'm stretching. that the Holy Spirit, again, described an apostasy in the last days, a falling away from the faith. The Holy Spirit described perilous times. Now, that's not what we're waiting for. Okay? That's already here. And if you got into that, again, you've got into that and your prayer life hasn't increased, all the things I've been stirring us up, encouraging us, waiting upon the Lord, the second week, again, first half of the year began with a week of prayer, second half of the year began with a week of prayer for the church. And if you can get all the way through that and you're still not moved between you and God to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to effectively change us as you cry out for mercy for the city, this is what we're waiting for. Where is the mighty working power of God? I'm not giving an accusation to God. I'm asking God for His mighty working power of salvation to come to our city. I've had this for years about saving the people who live here, right? And I have no power to save anybody. Okay, neither do you. But as we take this context of what God has been doing with us and what I see happened with Gideon, and again, we're in chapter 7 tonight. Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose up early, pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord God said to Gideon, "You have too many people. You're going to glory in your numbers, you're going to beautify your great accomplishments, and you're going to tell everybody how great your church is if anything happens." And I just lay it out. Now, go back to chapter 6 with me. Let's see if you can identify the power of God. You start to go through this. You have the angel show up with him. You have this supernatural occurrence that takes place when he offers the meat and the bread, and then pours the broth, and then the angel of the Lord touches that, and fire comes out of the rock, and that rises up. I ask you, is that the power of God? Okay, just taking you through this. So he made that. Gideon perceived that's an angel, and he thinks he's going to die, and the Lord says, "You're not going to." And then Gideon built an altar there, and then he was instructed to tear down the altar to Baal, and then to build an altar to the Lord God, who is the only God, and offer that sacrifice. And is that the power of God? And you look at this, and then the altar's destroyed, the grove's cut down, and then they want to kill Gideon. Right? I'm just going to put it forth for you. That's not the power of God. Even when we come to Acts 1:8, and I think this is worthy for us to say and see and know and have and believe and trust, and what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the power of God to be His witnesses. And not that we aren't going out sharing the gospel, and not that our lives aren't a witness, but I'm just going to lay it forth that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and that witness, it's different. That meaning that people listen, and then you know exactly what to say. Sometimes you might be sent right to one person. All I knew when we went down to Street Reach was a sower went to sow the word, scattering the seed of God's word. Get as many of these out. My goal was both cases of Gospels of John. Scatter the word of God. Get it out. Hand it out. Whatever anybody does with that, that's on them. But that one was get the word in people's hands. Now, let God take care of that and do that. And I'm already forming what's the Holy Spirit really want us to do in Jamestown. And I envision in Jamestown that we have one-on-one, we find one person in that whole day where I'm going to share the gospel with that one person. It's not the same vision. It's not the go scatter the word of God. It's go and find the one person and be a witness of Jesus unto them. A witness of what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That in Christ Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. That testimony of Christ. Who is God's Son? And some of you might be scared half to death over both of those. You know, and so like, I don't want to scatter the word out in the midst of what people might, you know, they might not like me. Okay, and or say to me, I'm like, I just got to find that one person when I go down to Jamestown. I'm going to pour all of my efforts to give that witness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, answer all their questions, pray, lead them as much as I can, try to get them all the way through to the Lord on that day. Now, when I describe that, I look at this. Verse 33, the Midianites and the Amalekites come once again across the river Jordan, and they fill up the valley of Jezreel. The enemies there in multitude, the enemy is oppressing, the enemy came to destroy. Now, if we're not awake, right, we won't identify and see the enemy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you open up your eyes and say, Lord, show me the enemy. Show me where the enemy has power, where he should not have power. And just, you set that place of this. And here's where I see the power of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blows the trumpet, and those from his hometown are gathered unto him. There's the power of God. What's the power of God? They're going to war. I've called us as a church, called us out to what? To war. The spiritual warfare. I've called us to prayer. I've called us to answer the call. I've called us to take the gospel out to these cities in North Dakota. We're doing that. We're going out. We're there. And yet, what do I say to us? Where is the mighty working power of God? Now, again, not an accusation to God, but for us, what we're waiting for and what we're needing is this baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit before. I'm not saying that to us. I'm saying that God is working in us. Like, we can't possibly accomplish what has to be accomplished without this anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show it to you here. When the enemy seems to be overtaking and it came to destroy again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blows the trumpet, sends the messengers, and they show up. 36 through 40, that's not the power of God. Do you understand? Fleece dry, fleece wet. Ground dry, ground wet. Opposite, that's not the power of God. That does not do anything. You understand that? It is of God. Okay? It's supernatural. It's a miracle. Okay? But it's not his power. What am I talking about? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. For what? To be a witness. Now the emphasis, if you'll track through the book of Acts, and the word witness is martyr. Martyr and witness, same root word. He says, lose your life. We say, yes. Right? You can't be a part-time witness, can you? Why can't you be a part-time witness? Well, because you'll defile the witness. Right? I mean, it's not that you have to like physically die, but you are called to what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. Is there a greater witness than a life laid down that has power with it, that where you go and when people find out, what are you speaking about? What are you giving credit to? When nothing else is being talked about, who do you talk about? Now, this is why I talk about us needing the Holy Spirit. And frankly, again, some of you may have caught, and again, one of my friends texted me after listening to Sunday. He's like, well, you're not really leaving anybody untouched. Because I got onto that glory of man versus glory of God. Glorying in men. No flesh should glory in his presence. Paul says, don't glory in Paul, don't glory in Apollos. And I brought up Billy Graham. Right? We met the guy at the outreach in Moorhead doing the, again, I don't even know if he knows the Lord, but somehow he likes Billy Graham. He's on YouTube. And one of my friends sent me a recording of Joe Foch teaching on the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, as a guest speaker at another Calvary Chapel exactly 3 years ago, July 3rd, 2021. And he sent me that, and I listened to it, and he gave testimony of when Billy Graham went to England, and he was in Wales, and in the church that they, again, he came to preach the gospel, nothing's happening. Nobody's coming, nobody's listening to him. And Billy asks, the last guy, his name was Alfred, okay? And Billy saw in him something he didn't have, And he says, what is this that you have? I need what you have. He says, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Took him through what the scriptures say and took him through that and prayed. And Billy Graham was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he comes back to preach the gospel. The building fills up and all of a sudden people are listening to him. And the power of God is upon his witness of Christ. And like night and day difference. His first two or three nights, nothing. After he's baptized with the Holy Spirit, everything happens. Gideon, where's the mighty working power of God? Billy Graham, where's the mighty working power of God? Now, it's rare that church these days stops and thinks and says, we need the Holy Spirit. It's rare. Because we've been sold a bill of goods that it's about when we come in to do our services and we like the music, we like the sound system. We like the pastor. He's a pleasant man. We like the appearance. Whatever that starts to happen. But what about the prayer meeting? Right? What about the church answering what God has called them to do? What about, have you noticed, right, what's all around you? That's Judges 7. Jerubbaal, Gideon, right? Power of God's upon him. He's blowing the trumpet. They've gathered unto him. They're at war. Okay? Are we at an all-out war battling for the Bible? Absolutely. Word of God. Sword of the Spirit, Word of God. If we set that one down, right, we might as well give up the testimony of Christ. Is that correct? If you set down the Word of God, what are you saying? Well, I'll just know by how I feel about Jesus. I wouldn't dare trust one day of my feelings. I have feelings. And a lot of times you need to understand that those deeper feelings, if you're praying with the Holy Spirit, they're given to you. That you feel deeply about this person's soul or one that you love dies and you don't know if they went to heaven or hell. You start to take this a little bit different tone, and the power of God that the people have come unto him, and now I just, again, I want you to see the power of God. When you study Acts chapter 1 into chapter 2, 1-8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them in Acts chapter 2, the mighty rushing wind, the sound, they're filled with the Spirit, tongues, you know, the flames, and then the tongues that they're speaking in, and they're praising and glorifying God. And you hear that. That begins their witness. It's what they're saying. And that time, the tongues that they were saying were understood by those who were there. It didn't need the interpretation that Paul talks about to the Corinthian church to get that agreement and say amen. And as they're praising and glorifying God, the power of God comes when Peter stands up and does what? Preaches the gospel. There were not 3,000 saved by the gift of tongues. Tongues is not for preaching the gospel. Paul lays it out with the Corinthians. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, is a witness of the death and resurrection of Christ. Christ crucified, Christ crucified, Christ crucified. We have to get to the cross. It's the cross. We've got to get to sin. We've got to get to blood. We've got to get to the power of God to save you from sin, death, and hell. Now, when I describe this, and you're looking at this power, and you're at war, and it's life and death, and again, I'm not going to spiritualize Judges 7, but I'm laying all this groundwork so that we as a church would say, what are we waiting for? Well, I know that what we really need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I really don't want to go into the future just going through the motions, giving you Bible studies that just, you know, I'm not going to open up a commentary and read what this guy said about this 20 years ago. Not going to do that. I'm going to take that. And I've done those studies, right? I'm going to take those things that this is what this is, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit, like, what are we doing with this? Time is short. If there ever was a clear shot across the bow, a warning shot, a friend of mine just sent me a picture of two missiles going across. Again, private video, two Russian missiles flying across the Caspian Sea towards targets in Ukraine. Now you think about what, so those, they hit target, right? What is it, how far are we away from a hook that brings Russia down? Have you checked your map? This distance from where they're launching to Ukraine, same distance to Jerusalem. Now, just describing this, you know, this doesn't scare me. I remember being young and not having the understanding, oh no, I'm not going to get to live my life. I'm just saying, lose your life as quickly as you can, find it in Christ, and live for Him. And we have people who live in this town. We're not going to be shot by the Russian missiles. That's not our part. But our part is what? We know that these things biblically are rolling out, that Jesus is coming back soon. We know that judgment's coming. We know that all these things are coming into play, and that's the world over. And then what about us as we look around here and said, we must preach Christ now, and we need the Holy Spirit to go forward. So when we talk with the witness, the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness unto Jesus. Now the word to Gideon in that day, the people were too many, lest Israel vaunt themselves. Some versions say beautify themselves. Some versions say glorify themselves. If there was a clear reference to us studying 1 Corinthians, to studying Judges, it's that no flesh should glory in His presence. No glory to man. How has the church produced fruit for the kingdom by glorying in man with the big churches and popular ministries and celebrity pastors and jets? And I went through the list of the money pastors here not too long ago. And I'm just laying this forth. How about small churches? Or how about unknown people? How about not many mighty after the flesh? How about not many noble, not many wise? How about those that nobody knows about? How about those who are committed to no glory to man, all glory to God? Now, in describing this, and this is what I see in Judges, I love Gideon's life. I mean, it's God. God did this. If there's anything that we are waiting for, we're waiting for God to do His works and us to be right there as He does them. And I remind you that the Lord's talking to Gideon, Gideon's hearing God. Don't miss that part. Now therefore, again, here's the instructions. Therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, right? Because if they're going to glory and vaunt themselves, they're going to say, my own hand saved me. If there is a philosophy, a way, a theory, a church growth model that can actually do this, we don't need the Holy Spirit. I'm on the other side of that, and I'm watching the bankrupt systems of those who followed the plans of the world, and I'm saying to you, their churches aren't alive. They're either dead or Laodicean. Laodicean is neither hot nor cold, mixed together. Again, I just described this. So I'm looking at this, and I'm looking around, and our task is big. Maybe Gideon-sized. If you answer that call, how do we get the gospel to those, like the cities? There's 9 of them total in North Dakota that I've had my eyes set on for 25 years. And then how do we get the gospel there, to get the large cities, and then get the gospel to go out from there? And get, again, once again, if you haven't noticed, the predominant type of church now is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, when I describe that, I'm not down on anybody. I'm just saying, look around, and you open this up, and we're at all-out war. And no one's going to say, my own hand has saved me. There's nothing, if we point to any technique, or worse yet, a man who's going to come and share the gospel to North Dakota, that's not going to work. You know, when Billy Graham showed up in Wales, he could do nothing. Until what? Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, I remind you, when did the Holy Spirit come upon Gideon? When the enemy came in. Right? And he had a work to do. When would the Holy Spirit come upon us? When we are praying and understanding. Like, we're not talking Holy Spirit for afterglow power. I don't know if that's ever been put together, but that's not true. Afterglow power is not what we're looking for. Those things that God does, that He gives, those gifts, I think we can roll through this now. My thought is, the power is to be a witness. Now, if one of those gifts of the Spirit is to witness, together to witness for Christ, you're going to have that power when you go out. Or when one here gets healed and then we're all together glorifying God, then this part here, that's not the power to be a witness. All of us have that witness, so we can go out now and do what? Testify of the glorious power of the truth that the Son of God has power over sin, death, and hell. You catch where this goes with me. Okay? All right, verse 3. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So he has 32,000 men. We'll get, again, we're sort of backing into the numbers. But God says there's too many. Now, I don't know what your perspective is, but my perspective would be, we might lose a few. I don't know if you listened to me on Sunday. I said, I've had people, I said, don't even bother coming to church here. And like, huh? How come you don't want everybody in church here? Okay. You understand where this is. It's like what we're seeking to do is have the Spirit of God upon us and all of us together to go forth and then to serve God and to do these things. This is not about being everything to everyone. This is about us, right? And if you catch that, you might lose a few who are fearful and afraid. It says they can go home. 22,000 left, 10,000 remained. Now, we talk about the mighty working power of God. He blows a trumpet, 32,000 people show up. That's pretty amazing. 32,000 ready to go to war. Turns out, when the call goes about being fearful and afraid, 22,000 go home. Remember how Paul showed up in Corinth? Fearful, anxious, trembling. Okay? Those don't disqualify you. Okay? But something's worked out there. So here the call of God is let the fearful and afraid go. Might lose a few or we might lose two-thirds. I remember the first time my pastor used the phrase, blessed subtraction. Interesting. I'll just bear witness to the Holy Spirit here. Right? There were people that had to go. Didn't want the Holy Spirit. A wave of that, just gone. Another group of people didn't want the Word of God here. Gone. I didn't do any of it. And I did absolutely nothing to make that happen. I got blamed for it. Okay? You tracking? So I don't know if the 10,000 started blaming Gideon. What are you thinking? Okay? So if you could just track with me here a bit as I think this through. And the Lord God said to Gideon, the people are still yet too many. And again, you catch the context here. Why is it still too many? Glorying in man. Glorying in man. Now, our witness and testimony amongst the churches in Mexico has been, wow, you guys must be a big church for all that you come and do for us. And I'm like, no, your churches are bigger. What? I want to say that. Testimony, Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. It was one of the national ministries was coming to St. Paul to preach the gospel, I think out by Fort Snelling on the island out there, Lake Harriet, or not Lake Harriet, where's that at? Anyway, years ago. And their church handed out their 10,000 flyers that we got, and then they collected up all the other ones that the larger churches weren't handing out, and they handed all theirs out. Because they had a what? Well, in the context of Nehemiah building the wall, they had a mind to the work. Now, I describe this. Do you know that we can do so much more than we really know if we all get together and like, okay, let's break this up, let's get this going here, let's get it going here. Now, just illustrations, purposes here. Still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will try them for thee there. He'll try them. He'll test them. So God's got something in mind here. Again, there in your notes, just simply say this. Your faith needs to be tested like gold. The word there for try is the word that would be described of the refiner. Okay? So God himself is trying those 10,000. Their faith. I don't know what it means for how God's looking at this, but I know that's the reference. Okay? So don't be troubled when your faith is tried so that it can come through and be proven as this is real. How does God do that? He will show you things that only you would know. You say, that's God. What do you think was happening to Gideon with the fleece? He's being refined. It wasn't so he could discern God's will. That man was being refined so that he would know God is in this. How long does it take for that to happen? People come to church. How long does it take for you to come and believe that there is a power of God that will be upon us to go out and preach Christ and that people will be getting saved? How long does it take for you to like believe that? Well, then that's that part of that trying. You go out and you find out, wow, nobody really wants to listen to what I'm saying. So what do you come back and do? Do you quit? Or do you come back and say, what am I missing? And I come back and say, what are we missing? So we need the Holy Spirit. You have a name that's your life, but you're dead. Then you need that living power of the Holy Spirit to go forth. He tries them there. And look what God says. I will try them for thee. What does Gideon have to do? Not a thing. He's not the one. What he does do is he's instructed that God, he will choose the ones that will go with him. And so Gideon just simply says, God says, I will give you the ones that are go with you, and your part is to take them, and then the ones that are not to go with you, you're to send them away. That's your job, Gideon. Okay? Back to blessed subtraction. Now, as this is happening, he brought the people down to the water. The Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped up, putting the hand to the mouth, was the 300. The rest of the men bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And I don't know what you would be doing, but here's my thoughts. And just because this is the war, right? Whew, we're only going to lose 300. That wasn't that bad. But you know how the story goes, is that God says unto him, he says, keep the 300. Verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. Let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Now, according to the numbers later on, this just took Gideon to 400 to 1 odds. Each one of those 300 men, if they're going to be doing all the work, what do they have to do? They have to save, if you will, 400 people. Or in this case, they have to kill 400 of the enemy to have victory and power over the enemy. That's now the odds. 300 to 135,000, plus the camels. I don't know if you have to kill all the camels. Maybe they'll run away. So the people took victuals in their hands, provision, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel into his own tent, retained the 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, if you can explain what happened when God's mighty working power of salvation comes, if you can explain revival, then it wasn't God. Isn't that the bottom line? If you can explain it by everything that man did and the works and the decisions, and all I have to say to you is what's going to happen next. You can't even make a tactical plan out of any of this stuff. You wouldn't dare. You wouldn't teach this in your military schools. This is why when we as a people come, you can study from the revivals, but you can't go back and repeat them. You can't make that, well, what they do next. It never works like that. But what you can do is find that place where you, like, we need the Holy Spirit. Have you looked around and crying out for mercy? You know, how many people are dying every day now? Have you noticed death? Just, again, it's happening. You know, we never used to have sudden death syndrome, as they call it. That was something that happened to babies, and it was rare, and they couldn't figure it out. Do you realize that's happening now to teens and adults? People are just dying. Okay? I don't know if it was a suicide in the jail. 37-year-old woman found dead. Dead body in West Fargo this week. I mean, so you start to... And these are the ones that get published. 300. Came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Now, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Putting on the armor, what is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. Shield of faith, Word of God. If you're going to go out and preach Christ, what do you use? Word of God. Maybe it'll be one phrase, maybe it'll be something the Holy Spirit just, where he's like, I've got to give, this is this verse, and this is what I'm going to share. And the Holy Spirit says, take him through this. Again? All right? Fear not, but if thou fear to go down. Because why would God say that to you? Because you're afraid. Now, where have you bought the lie that if you're afraid, you are now disqualified to serve him? Where have you bought the lie that if you're afraid, you don't have to go? I'm afraid to talk to that person. Well, God puts it forth to take Pura, his servant. Thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward thy hand shall be strengthened to go down unto the host. Now, he could have gone right there, right? He had the command, arise, get up, and go. How many times has that been us in our personal lives? Arise, get up, and go. Don't beat yourself up and like, oh, I should have gone. I missed these opportunities. That's not what's happening. I would simply say God is very insistent in this chapter that Gideon's going to go and God's going to do this work, and God persists with Gideon. See, a lot of times we miss the relationship that God is now having with Gideon, and the Lord is speaking to him and he's responding. And what about us in our relationship with the Lord, where we're hearing from him and we're going, we're listening? And don't take it on such a personal note. Get together as we go. We're doing this. And we're going to go do this. And we've heard what God wants us to do. Let's get up and do this. The insistence comes here as he sends them down. What you hear, what they say, you're going to be strengthened. They go down with Pura. By the way, his name means foliage. Again, so I don't know if he's the guy carrying the bush and they're hiding behind him. Funny name. Probably his armor bearer. No bush. But his name means bow or bow, I guess that how you'd say that. The Midianites and the Amalekites, the children of the east, lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Catch the reference. They've shown up to devour the land. And there's so many of them. If you've ever been around locusts or grasshoppers, they leave it bare. Clear reference to the multitude. They're armed. So come out to the armed men on the edge. I'm not saying the whole one's an army, but there's enough that are the hosts, again, reference to the army, and their multitude, their camels without number by the sand of the sea. So again, the valley of Jezreel is filled. Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. So behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, came unto a tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned that tent lay along. There's nothing about barley, a barley loaf. In fact, you wouldn't even really make it. It's what you would make if you didn't have enough money for real flour. And somebody probably in here likes barley bread, but the idea here is that it's nothing in the sight. It's not even desirable. Now, I've watched this worldly church try to make themselves desirable and sexy to the world. That's a literal term that some of the church planters use. Makes me sick, sort of. Like what? But here you have Gideon, right, hearing this dream. And he heard it. Gideon heard the telling of the dream. So don't be so amazed that they had the dream and then the interpretation, but God did this all for Gideon. The timing's amazing, right? The way that God lays it out. He heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation. So the interpretation in 14, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand God hath delivered Midian and all the host. If you can explain it, it's probably not the Holy Spirit. There's just things that God does. So don't be looking for all your reasoning and explanations. Just be looking for the Holy Spirit. Let him do what he's doing. When Gideon heard the telling of it, the interpretation thereof, he worshipped. Now, just my side comment here for us. So then what is afterglow for? The manifestation gifts that we wait for, that we can have tongues and interpretation, or we can have a word of prophecy, to listen to that prophecy, to be edified and built up. So all those things that happen when we gather and we worship, afterglow of worship, you catch that. He hears God in a supernatural way, that God called his name out by the lips of a man who never knew, that even knew him, had this interpretation of a dream that you look at that, and all he can do is, that's God. That's the Lord. All he can do is worship. And I think that's the part where, when we're together and we're understanding that the Holy Spirit would do things in such a way where all of us can simply then worship God and glorify him and say, praise God. Tongues and interpretation, that edification that happens, these things, or if it's a healing, that should cause all of us to do what? To worship. Our God is among us and his power is here, and we're not like, oh, those things don't happen anymore. Okay? So you hear that. Arise. So again, he worshipped, returned to the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. The same thing that God told him to do, he's now going back and telling the others, let's get up and go do this. And he said unto me, look to me and do likewise. So whatever I do, that's what you're to do. Now, what's not recorded here is God instructing him how to do it. And I like this. But what is recorded for us is in 6:34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. What do you know when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you? You'll get into those situations and you'll know what to do. How will you know what to do? Because the Holy Spirit will work naturally, supernatural. Why did you do it that way? My brother told me a testimony of when he did one of his first mission trips, and their church went back to Ireland because his pastor's name was O'Keefe. He was compelled to go back to the old country and preach Christ to his peoples over there. He got saved here. He's like, we're going over there and we're going to preach the gospel there. Sent my brother. He would go in advance, line up the churches, and my brother, assisting pastor, my brother would be like the Joshua fighting the battle. He'd go out, he'd lead the mission trip, and they go to this park where they're to be at, and he's just like, what do we do? There's people in the park, but how do you get their attention? What happens? That particular time, Holy Spirit just let him pick up all the trash in the park. As this group of Americans is cleaning up this filthy park with all this garbage, that's the open door to share the gospel with everybody in the park. They start coming over, what are you doing here? What's going on? And my brother's testimony is like, who would have known? And like, you pick up the garbage and that's how you get, that's the open door. See, and when I describe this, Gideon hears that, now he's ready to go. Now comes the power of God. He's calling the people to go, naturally, supernatural. He divides the group. God's showing him what to do. The power of the Holy Spirit's upon him. Calls the men of the three companies, puts a trumpet in every man's hands. Again, I think it's a great thing. Empty pitchers with lamps inside the pitchers, disguising the light, but it's all right there. Trumpet and light. I mean, you can do all the Bible studies, the trumpet to proclaim, the light of the burning holiness of the church to go forth. I mean, you can not to over-spiritualize, but you have this in tow here. And he said, look to me and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And when you study Joshua destroying Jericho, God destroying Jericho, they have the battle plans, and like, we're going to what? Because this is what God said. I don't know if my brother had any pushback when he said to the team, all right, we're going to clean up the park. We came all this way to pick up garbage? Do you see what this is? It's for all of us to gather to say what? We must have the Holy Spirit and we must be at that place. We know God brought us here. We know Matthew 28:19-20. We know the nations have come here. We've got some work to do. We've got gospel to share. You don't have to go out and go your own way and figure out your own thing. Okay, what are we doing? What's the instructions? What's the Holy Spirit leading? Now, as you catch what happens, look to me and do likewise. It shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow the trumpet, and all that are with me, blow ye the trumpet, also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I like that because what was the interpretation of the dream? This is not other than the sword of Gideon. What's Gideon saying? It's the sword of the Lord. Because what's he understanding? Oh, he might have these physical swords, but what's he really... Have you counted 400 to 1? That would require every one of the 300, but the Lord's showing him to do it this way. So he's saying, well, this is the sword of the Lord. And again, he's not denying that he's called. He's not denying that God is speaking to him. He's not denying the power of God's upon him. He's the one leading. He has the instructions. He's doing that. Gideon and the 100 men with him, they broke the pitchers. So they at the beginning of the middle of the watch in verse 19, they had but newly set the watch. So you have those coming onto the watch. They're sleepy because they just woke up. The other ones who are finishing their watch, they're what? They're ready to go to bed. The wisdom of God, the power of God, the supernatural leading in a natural way to accomplish these things. How do you do these things? By the Spirit of God. Blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The light, again, think about it. You scattered them all around, and they're breaking of the pitchers. All of a sudden, these lights appear. The enemy's upon them. They're in confusion. Holy Spirit stuff. And in doing that, you know, you think of a lamp. Everybody had a trumpet. You would only give the trumpets to who? The leaders of men. The blowing of the trumpet. Again, but you might not catch this reference. It's a reference in the promise given under the law to Moses, reiterated in Ezekiel, that when you blow the trumpet, I, the Lord, will come and fight for you. So, yeah, are they blowing it for the enemy I put forth to you? They're blowing the trumpet, 300 of them, for God to come and fight for them, believing in the Word of God. When you go out, pair up. Get a prayer. Right? You need prayer. You're there sharing the gospel. Have right there. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We don't need everybody speaking. We need the 300 trumpets sounding, reminding God. Again, in that context, they're not reminding God of anything, but what are they really doing? They're claiming that what God said to them is true. Do you realize that most of the church isn't baptized with the Holy Spirit because they don't believe it's true? It's that straightforward. Most don't go out with that power because they don't believe that the power of God would be with them when they do go out. Gideon did not presume upon God. Okay? So you work out the difference between presuming and faith, right? If God hasn't told you anything, then don't go out. I mean, is that not true? But if God told you what to do, you go in that way. Now, it doesn't change your witness. As you go, you preach Christ wherever you're at. But I'm talking when you see the enemy and, okay, we're going to go and do this, you got to have that prayer and that answer. Three companies blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, verse 20, held the lamps in their left hands, trumpets in their right hand to blow withal, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." They stood every man in his place round about the camp. The host ran, again, the enemy. The host ran, cried, and fled. 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout the host, and they fled to all these obscure places. One happens to be the home of Elisha. It's rather interesting. Gideon sent, later on that is, Gideon sent messengers, so they're pursuing him. He calls for the men of Naphtali, Asher, Manasseh, and they pursue after the Midianites. He sends messengers to Ephraim to come down against the Midianites and take the waters so they can't cross back the Jordan, and they did it. That's verse 24. And then they kill Oreb and Zeb, and they slew them at the rock of Oreb and the winepress of Zeb. Pursued Midian, brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. And they go all out pursuit. And we get the final numbers. That is 135,000 that they kill. Great victory and power over the enemy. Now, when I describe this to us, and this is worth saying too. Oreb is raven, Zeb is wolf. Two great enemy names. Right? So if we see our great need for the Holy Spirit, I think God has stirred us up as a body of believers to do something about preaching Christ to this city. And I believe with all my heart that we've heard and believe that we're to preach Christ to these other cities so that that can get going there as well. I'm not saying that others are not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying God has given us our Jerusalem to preach Christ here, right? Have the Holy Spirit and power. Be genuine church where, again, the pillars in place, all that's in place. And I simply just say, we are to go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit when He shows us what to do and go do that. You don't have to look for, you know, like, well, I know the church is doing this, but I've got to have something unique to do. We're all together in this, and we're going to go do this work. And I describe that. And we're going to go to these cities, and we're going to preach Christ there, and we're going to do that. And so that leads me to this. What do we really need? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So take my brother's example when he's one of his first trips, Ireland, never been there, never been in that city, doesn't know anybody, you know, just met his pastor met the other churches the week before, got them arranged to join so that they, with their outreach, and they can take them to those churches and they can get them plugged in and do all that. And the word simply was, pick up garbage. Now, what I set before us is this. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, we could just come to church, right? I mean, this is the church model that most follow is what? I go to church, and I attend there, and I like what I get there. Right? I usually hear out of this ear, so this one's got an itch. Itching ears? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just give me something to scratch the itch. Father's Day message on Father's Day, Mother's Day message, Mother, you know, give me this. Or where's the church that understands we're at all-out war? Now, again, I'm not, this is not heavy-handed. It's not... This is not so we can stir up, you know, the Spirit onto all the operation of the gifts while we're in here, and that's the power of God. I'm very clear about that. Those things that God does is so we would know this is God, that when we go out in the power of the Spirit to preach Christ and be His witnesses, that's where the power of God is. We were awakened, Romans 13, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. We were awakened out of our slumber concerning the souls of the people that live here. Now, being awakened, okay, now I'm stirring you up. And when I was bold enough to say what happened for us in January, and we began to pray and confess our sins, and what happened in March, and I started using that term, we're in revival. Now, why I say it in that way is not for publishing so that people can come here. You'll notice what happened. When the power of God came and God had a victory with Gideon, then He sent for the messengers. But until that initial work and power of God had happened where He struck the enemy and destroyed them, there really isn't anything for us to publish. We go and do some things and it's just not ready yet, or the fruit's not ripe. You know who's being prepared right now? Are we waiting for God, or is God waiting for us? We're the ones being tried. We're the ones being prepared. We're the ones who say what? We need the Holy Spirit. That's where I want to leave off tonight, our need for the Holy Spirit. And in what way? The power of God. The conversations you get into, or your, all of a sudden your prayer closet has a fire in it. And your coworkers, all of a sudden you have a love for them, like, I don't know if they are going to heaven or not. Or a particular city, all of a sudden, we're going to Jamestown. What does it mean? What's going to happen there? What do I got to do? What are we doing? It's not, I mean, it's fun to do a parade. I think to hand up, but you do understand, it's our witness that really, and again, we're always that doing that is a witness. And I think all of you are at that place. So we're not going to, you know, get rid of two-thirds. God's already done all that. This is the 300, if you will. That look around. This is the ones who are like, we're going to do this. That's already trimmed down. And then others will join us, and again, just describing that. But what does this group need? Clay pots that can be broken. Right? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? The trumpet. That's to boldly declare Christ crucified. So, Father in heaven, here we are tonight, having been brought here in the witness and testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that it's only Christ Jesus who can deliver from the enemy for all of eternity. Lord, we look out in our world and we cry out to you for mercy, that those that have come here could be saved and that they could hear that in Christ Jesus there is a remission and repentance of sin and they could be saved. So as we wait upon you, Lord, work deeply in our lives, and our call unto you, Lord, is when we go out, we need the Holy Spirit. We need this baptism with the Holy Spirit when we speak to another, that we could speak the very oracles of God. When we come to the time of teaching, that we'd have the gift of teaching. Your Spirit's teaching us. So, Lord, as we are here tonight and again agreeing together, I love the book of Acts. There was no formula for this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's laying on of hands. Sometimes it's right after they were baptized. One time it was before they were baptized into Christ. And here we are simply having taught all these things, believed all these things, and asking for the power of God to be upon us to be your witnesses. I ask that you would make us ready. And here we are waiting, and you put into us that each one of us could honestly say to you, we need the Holy Spirit. And I ask for that work tonight, to put into us, we need the Holy Spirit. We know trouble's coming into the world. We know it's only one or two national events that could throw the whole country into an uproar. Before you, Father, we recognize that everything we know and the way that we live life could be turned upside down in a week. And we ask of you for the Holy Spirit, that you would give us the Spirit of God, that we would know how to walk with you in these last days. We recognize, Lord, that there might be time, so we don't want this to grow cold. So we ask now and ask you to put the fire into our lives, that we would pray like Gideon and hear from you. And when you say tonight or you say today, that we're ready to go. And so we ask for the Holy Spirit in that way tonight. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.